Welcome back to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. I hope you're enjoying your long Labor Day weekend. We're just at the start of it, and I'm so happy to be joined by the wonderful Dahlia Saper, who handles so many different things, but is kind of an expert. Not kind of. You are an expert, Dahlia, on all things social media. Thanks for sharing some of your weekend with us.
Thanks for having me back.
All right. So there's a couple stories I wanted to get to. And a couple weeks ago, this one came across my radar that a bipartisan group of senators, John Thune and Amy Klobuchar, wanted to talk to TikTok about a policy change that they had made. And I'm someone who uses TikTok a little bit here and there. And I didn't even realize there was a policy change that had to do with potentially collecting facial data or some components of what we use. I mean, what is it that TikTok is trying to get from us?
Well, I don't know what they do, but we know these tech giants are increasingly trying to make themselves smarter, especially as they're trying to use your data and link it with other people's data, primarily to make the platform more usable and to serve you up with advertisements that are more
Wait, relevant. It's all about the money? They don't have these apps ready for us just
all
for our own enjoyment?
All about the money, yes. But I think TikTok is following in Facebook's footsteps. I mean, Facebook has repeatedly sued, especially in Illinois, where we have this biometric law that says you have to be full disclosure before you, you know, scan someone's eyeballs. And TikTok is essentially mirroring or probably trying to replicate what other platforms before it have done when it comes to biometric information. The scare, of course, is that TikTok is the most downloaded app, I think, right now. And a huge portion of that is teenagers, including my teeny bopper. And the fact that its parent company is Chinese-owned raises concerns from our government and our politicians that this is just a really scary tool used by a foreign entity to collect information and control communication with our citizens.
It certainly sounds scary the way you put it, and you're obviously quoting concerns of other people. Just backing up one second, the biometric data stuff. So these are, I mean, I guess in Illinois, we, like you said, have a rule saying that we have to be aware of it. What sort of biometric data is being collected? And do you think that some people just don't know it and they just click yes to any terms of policy change without ever digging into it?
I think most people do, right? If you want to use the utility that now is Facebook or TikTok, you have to kind of take it or leave it. It's not like I'll do this, but not that. Now, is it all nefarious? I don't know. I'm in the camp that sometimes giving up a little privacy is okay if it makes your life easier. So maybe I'm not in the camp where it's like, oh no, my privacy is being taken away. But you know, it's nice when Facebook knows to tag people in my picture that I didn't have to go and to identify. That's a use. And so I'm sure whatever functionality that adds to the statute's point, hey, if I'm a user, at least I'm informed before I'm on this platform. And if I'm super scared that my eyeballs are being scanned, well, then maybe I don't go on TikTok. Maybe I have to deactivate my Facebook account. It's still a choice. There's no law that says you're entitled to a TikTok account or a Facebook account.
Really? There's not? Because for what I can tell, most people are. I wonder if Facebook knows that my hair is slowly graying in certain spots, and that's why I'm getting advertisements for Just for Men and other hair coloring options.
It does. Absolutely, it does.
Well, that's okay then. At least they're targeting it towards me.
That's right. So you're getting that instead of maybe, like, you know, something totally irrelevant that you're not interested in. And with enough backlash, certainly from the user base, these platforms do change policies. If it's from the U.S. government, I'm not sure, you know, they can impose policies, but it's this real push and pull, you know, tug of war between the users, the platforms, and the government.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. And I wanted to ask if you ever watch congressional hearings that take place. Well, that's the most boring question I've ever asked in my life.
I'd like to sit down with some popcorn and watch. Yeah.
Okay, so C-SPAN is on the house a lot in my home, and but that's just me. But I am always a little, ooh, when I watch, and this is through no fault of their own, our representatives, for the most part, generally speaking, are older than the average American. They are maybe less technologically advanced than the average American. Nothing wrong with that. But they're the ones that are making policies on this stuff. And sometimes when I watch these hearings, I have to shake my head at some of the terminology that they use to try and navigate this world. But they're kind of the last line of defense for some of this stuff, right?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of always been the case, right? We've got an increasingly savvy congressional body. They have to be, because to get reelected, they need people on their team that understand this stuff. So there is a shift there. But, you know, we're still figuring things out. Snapchat was the big thing, 3 years ago? Now it's been set aside for the TikTok. And we'll blink and tomorrow there'll be a new platform. We are not as strict as our European counterparts, for example, that have started to implement a whole bunch of laws around privacy. The whole world is kind of shifting. The expectation of what is okay to collect and isn't okay to collect is shifting. All we can do as users is be active and vigilant with our own information and make decisions in real time and not just kind of accept those terms of use blindly.
It's interesting you mentioned that Europe is a little bit stricter in that stuff, because I think there is maybe that we are just feel resigned to the fact that, well, that's what the app does and that's what we have to deal with. And if that's okay, then fine. But I guess there is something to be said that if you did really feel strongly against some of this data that is being collected or how these companies operate, enough political support could force some of these companies to lay off that a little bit. Is there just not enough momentum for a cause in this and that we are just too resigned for it? Or maybe it's what we're talking about, that our congressmen, congresswomen aren't as savvy as we think they are? Because there could be a will to change some of this.
Well, right. And I think, as you know, we see this with Facebook. They're being both sides of the political spectrum are not happy.
Right.
You know, the Republicans are saying you're too onerous and too much of a censorship machine. And the left is saying you're not doing enough in light of the power you hold and the number of users you have. Now, we also have a reaction to sites like that. Like Parler was the big thing 5 minutes ago when, because of Twitter's decision to terminate, let's say, certain politicians and certain accounts.
I think we all know who you're talking about. Yep.
Right. Well, we have a free market when we get to a point where they're so big that it's almost like we have no power. Then we get these antitrust laws to come in, and you've got the FTC coming in. I don't have a happy answer or an easy right. way to answer that, other than to say is with enough pressure and with enough outrage and enough security risk, I think you will see changes and at a minimum some sort of legislation to further regulate the scope of Facebook, whatever, choose your platforms.
Right.
Obligations, responsibilities, and rights. Right now, they've got the Communications Decency Act on their side.
Right.
And until that legislation is changed, the law really says they kind of can do nothing or do what they want.
All right. And one thing that they're doing is upsetting a lot of folks right now, in part because you talk about people getting banned or not. The Taliban is all over our social media companies. We'll get to that after this on 720 WGN. Back here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association, Dahlia Saper joining me now. And I know this is a very fluid situation and it is ever changing. So, you know, 1 minute we could all be experts on certain things regarding Afghanistan and the Taliban, and then it changes a few minutes later. So having said that, it's very interesting. And there was a great article written about the fact that the Taliban and some of their leaders are using American social media platforms. And Dahlia Saper, I just don't know. I think a lot of people are like, well, why are certain people banned? I got in Twitter jail for a day once for posting a video I accidentally shouldn't have posted. Yet the Taliban is on there and using it. What do you think about that?
Well, Facebook has a tough job, right? They are trying to both moderate content, but not moderate content. Because on one hand, they're not supposed to be the publishers of anything that's on their platforms. And on the other hand, their own terms of use say, if you're using this platform for something offensive or that constitutes hate speech, we have the right to boot you off. So there's this kind of difficulty that Facebook faces, because on the one hand, they don't want their platform to be a resource for terrorists. And on right. the other hand, who's to say that a statement made by, you know, Joe Schmo is a terrorist statement versus just a really abhorrent opinion.
Right. How quick are they to react to these things? Because obviously, if you're a big public figure, you know, people are going to report you if you say something that people think violated the terms of service. But I've heard that, you know, different, and whether it's the Taliban or other folks, kind of jumping around, like especially on Twitter, like, oh, you got banned, I'm going to jump on this new one. Have you found that they're usually pretty resilient in shutting down accounts and keeping them shut down? Or does it sometimes, is there a lag time where new accounts get created by the same people?
Well, look, it's they have two-part system. They've got actual humans whose job it is to look at terrible things and make that judgment call. And then they're also implementing various artificial intelligence technologies using semantic intelligence to remove content automatically. So it's a two-part process. Facebook recently published its transparency report. It's fb.com, and they're trying to be really open about their processes and how they're implementing their various policies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and one whole section's on violence and incitement and what their standards are and what they're going to do if they think you've violated those.
Right. Yeah, it's all pretty much laid out. It's just, it is fascinating to think that someone that you may know or I may know gets banned for making fun of someone or something, and then there's the Taliban all over it. But it just brings up an interesting discussion that is way smarter than myself. Not you, Dahlia. You could handle it. But the idea that the Taliban has gone from trying to shut out internet access into Afghanistan into embracing it. I guess that we've seen this related to other big movements in the Middle East, the Arab world, about there is a lot of power that is in social media. And I guess it shouldn't be any surprise that whether that's the Taliban or the American government, there's such power in utilizing social media and trying to gather people through whatever cause you're going for.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of this free exchange of information. Like, if everything was like Wikipedia, as soon as the Taliban was in there, hopefully there's a way to go into those same forums. If it's the Taliban page, no, they wouldn't be so obvious,
right?
Likely. But that's where you could go in and put in your own information to counteract the information that's being disseminated there. That's a really tough task when everything is so siloed.
Right.
But, you know, moderation and removal is absolutely wonderful, but it's not going to shut down all of that misinformation. The best, in my opinion, the best way to counteract misinformation is to put out more information.
Yeah, I agree with you in principle. I just feel like sometimes certain platforms are so big that it's hard to bring them down, that misinformation can spread so fast that when you Absolutely. Counter it with the truth, that it's already right. done, right? Isn't the damage already done a bit?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a tough world to navigate. All right, Dahlia Saper, we have not solved all the world's problems in one interview, but we've gotten closer. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you.